Okay, maybe we could start here. I see you guys are all down there, so I will stand in the middle so I could be a little closer to you guys. So I do have some candy for participation. So if I ask questions and you answer, you can get some candy, if your parents are okay with you having candy. Maybe we could sing some songs first. I don't know if you kids noticed that this hymn sheet we have, the front says Echoes of Grace Gospel Hymn Sheet, but the back says Children's Hymns. You guys notice that? I don't know if you've seen that before. So maybe we could pick some from the back. If you pick one from the front, too, it's okay, but maybe we could pick some from the back, because those are more for children, and I think that would be nice to sing from there. But does anyone have a song we could start with? Sure.
41?
Number 41. 41.
Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will heavenly anthems bring, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high.
Song that's talking about being in heaven in the coming day, right? And, you know, how did they get there? It says, how did those children get there? And that's because of the Savior shed blood. So I'm not planning on talking about the gospel this morning, but if you're not saved, you heard last night, you need to be saved. So what we're going to talk about today is a little bit past that, after you're saved, and maybe something that'll help you. So I'm going to tell a story this morning first, not from the Bible. And I'm going to tell a similar story from the Bible. And we'll talk about it. And it's about someone who was missing. Okay? Maybe we could sing one more song, and then we'll get into the story.
47.
Number 47.
When he cometh to make up.
Oh.
Okay, so I'm going to sit down to tell the story. Okay, so when I was a kid, I have a big family, lots of brothers and sisters. And so we would go on trips. And we'd go to conferences like here. And it would be like a 7-hour drive, long drive. And so one of the problems with going on trips with lots of people is making sure everyone's there. Right. So one time, and I don't know if I have all the details of this story right, but one time we were on a trip. So we were on a trip and we were driving and we stopped at a rest area. Anyone stop at a rest area before on the way somewhere? Yeah? All right. Nodding head gets a piece of candy. All right. You want one, Chip? All right. Up, oh, Ezra too. All right. Everyone gets a round of candy. They all nodded. There you go. All right, did you guys nod? All right. So we stopped at a rest area. It was like a gas station to gas up, and everyone used the bathroom. And when we stopped, one of my brothers, and probably most of you know Uncle Caleb. Maybe a few of you don't, but a lot of you know, because you're related, know Uncle Caleb. So how I remember it was that we stopped at the rest area, we got gas, and then as we were driving, my dad decided to count the heads, because that's the fastest way to figure out if everyone's there. Count the heads. So you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So there were 8 kids, so we count, oh, there was 8. He would look in the rearview mirror, but this time he counted, and there were 7. And then we said, who's missing? Start going through the names, and Caleb, where's Caleb? And Caleb was not in the van. So Caleb was not there. And he was there before we stopped. So we had to turn around. We were on the highway, I think it was. So we had to turn around and go back to the rest area. And there was Uncle Caleb, and little Caleb, and he was young. And he was crying because he got left behind. He was missing. And we found him. So that was scary for him, but it was also scary for his mom and dad, right? Where is he? So I want to tell a story about a person who was missing, who's also young. Does anyone have any ideas what that could be?
Prodigal son?
Nope, but that's a good, that is a person who was lost and then found. Sam?
And Jesus is at the temple?
You got it. All right. So the story I want to tell is about, was in the book of Luke. Does anyone know, if there's 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Does anyone know why Luke is very special? What's special about Luke? Does anyone know? There's something special. Maybe you're a little young to know this. It's okay. Anyone? So in Matthew, we get the Lord Jesus as the King and the Messiah. But in Luke, what we get is the Lord Jesus as a person. Right, as a man. So what's special about that is we see a lot of his feelings, right, how he felt. He was hungry, things like that. But we also see him as a boy, which is very interesting. Because sometimes when we say, you know, we need to follow the Lord Jesus, right, and do what he did, you say, well, he was a man, I'm a boy, or a girl, right? But we have an example of him as a boy, and I think one of the reasons that this example was put in the Bible is for us when we're younger, so we can understand how he was as a boy. And even as we're children, we can be like him. We can be like him with his help, of course. So like I said, this is for those of us who are saved. If we're not saved, we can't be like him, right? We know that we need to have a new life, and we have to have the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to be like him. But I want to read the story because I think it's a very interesting story. We've read it at home not too long ago, but maybe you girls forgot, so it'll be fresh again. But it's a really good story. So this is in Luke chapter 2. And don't worry, you don't have to be worried about having to read some of it. I'll just read it. We'll go through it step by step, and I can ask some questions. So in Luke chapter 2, and this is, maybe we'll start with verse 41. maybe we'll start with verse 40. Okay, and it's talking about a child. Okay, it says a child, and the child grew, is how verse 40 of Luke chapter 2 starts. And that child is Jesus. Okay, just so you know, I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter, but that's who it's talking about. And it says, and he waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So he grew just like you boys and girls are growing and getting older. And you remember when you were, maybe you don't remember when you were tiny, little, and then as you grew older, and maybe when you're younger, you wish you were older, like some of the older boys, and you look up to them. But the Lord Jesus grew just like anyone else. But it says that he was filled with wisdom. And we're going to see that he was pretty wise. More wise as a boy than some grown-ups. And so let's continue on. It says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. So every year they would go to the Feast of Passover like Jews would do. They'd go to the Passover in Jerusalem every year. That kind of reminds me of going to conferences, right? Maybe there's some conferences that every year mom and dad take us there. And that's good that we get taken to conferences. And this was right that the Lord's parents would take him to Jerusalem every year. That was good. And so there he was being taken every year. And it says when he was 12 years old. Who is 12 years old here? Or who is older than 12 here in the front? You are? All right. Participation candy. Who is 11? Sam? Oh, both of you guys. All right. Okay. And who is 10? All right, we got a 10. So a lot of us are close to the age the Lord was here. All right, who is 7? Besides Evelyn. All right, who's 6? I think we have 2 sixes. Do we have 2 sixes? Are you 6? Are you 5? Okay. You can still have that one. Oh, you don't have to throw it back. Okay, we'll give you another one. Who is 5? Who is 5? Oh, you're 8. Did I miss 8?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. Who's 8? Oh, okay. Sorry, Ezra. All right, let me just hand these. All right, so you're 8. Okay, you can have another one. And you are 5. Okay, you're 5. Okay, yeah, you're the same age. And Adelaide, you're 5 or are you 6? I forget. You're 5. Okay. And, okay, any 4? No one 4. Okay. 4 is a little bit younger than the Lord was here. You can keep as many, as any on the floor, you can grab those. So we have quite a few people, and a lot of us are close to the age the Lord Jesus was, right? And that's still considered a boy. It calls the Lord Jesus, when he's 12, it calls him a boy. So he's still a boy. But he was getting close to being grown up, wasn't he? He was getting older. But we can still take this lesson for all of us. So it says, when he was 12, they went to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. So there they were going to Jerusalem again. And when they had fulfilled the day, so they had stayed there for the feast. Now it says, as they returned, the child Jesus, or really it's the boy Jesus, tarried behind in Jerusalem. So he stayed there. So they went to leave, and he stayed. And it says, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. So they didn't know. So this is the same thing. Someone got left behind. Someone was missing. So let's see how long it takes for them to notice. How long do you think it took? Anyone know how long it took for them to notice? All right, we'll read it. It says, and they, supposing him to have been in the company, so there's a big group of them that traveled, and they probably walked or rode, I'm not sure what they rode. Any ideas what they might have rode?
Horse?
Possibly a horse. I'm not sure if they had horses around that time, but it's possible.
Donkey?
Possibly a donkey. One other animal I'm thinking of. Ezra?
Camel,
yeah. Sorry. So it's possible they were riding one of those, but they're probably walking too. And we know that the Lord's parents were poor, so maybe they didn't even have, maybe they just walked. But it looks like a group of them, and we see that it was their relations. So they went with their cousins. So they may have gone, or brothers, whoever it was, they may have all gone in a big group together. So it says that they were going, but they assumed, oh, okay, he's with the rest of them. He's somewhere in there. And they didn't do a head count, maybe. But it says they went a day's journey. They traveled for all day. So let's just say only 12 hours even. That that was a long time to go without noticing he was gone. But you know what? He was a perfect boy, wasn't he? So they may have thought, well, he's just coming along. He's doing, you know, he's doing whatever we expect him to do, because we never have any problems with him. But, you know, Uncle Caleb, I think they were a little bit, my parents were worried a little bit sooner, because he wasn't a perfect boy. So they would notice something's missing, right? But the Lord Jesus, maybe they didn't notice for a day. So it says that they went a day's journey, and it says they sought him, they looked for him among their relations and acquaintances. So the people they went with, they looked around, you know, where, you know, is he here? And they're saying, oh, he's not here. They'd gone a day's journey. And it says, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. So now they got to go another day's journey all the way back. So now it's 2 days that they haven't found him. And it says, it came to pass that after 3 days, so I think that counts the first two, so I think it was a total of 3 days he was missing. Now, what would you think, what would you kids think, if you were left at a rest area or left at a conference and it was a day or 3 days before you got found? What would you think? And would you be sad or scared without your mom and dad for 3 days? I think even if you were 12, after 3 days, you might start getting a little concerned, right? Well, we see something different with the Lord Jesus, and we're going to talk about why that is. Well, it says that they went back to Jerusalem, like we said, and after 3 days, they found him in the temple, right? They found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the teachers, doctors or teachers, hearing them and asking them questions. So this is interesting. He was in the temple. He must have somehow got food. We don't know how. Anyone think of a way he could have gotten food? Anyone? So if you were alone, what would you do to find food? Ezra? Eat grass? It's possible. I don't think it would be very tasty. I don't think it would digest very well. Sam?
Ask for it.
Yeah, you just ask for it. So maybe he was begging for food. We don't know. Maybe he was. But you know what? We've seen in other scriptures where the Lord's people, they have been fed by the Lord. So in some way, God took care of his son, right? So God looked down, he saw his son, and he took care of him. So, but there he was in the temple. And what does it say he was doing? It says he was, I'm going to find it again, hearing them. That's a good thing. So when he was 12, he was listening. And, you know, maybe when you're younger, it's a little harder to stay listening. You know, we can listen for a while, but then, oh, we just see something shiny or something, and we look at that, or someone comes in the door, and we think about the person, and we stop thinking about what we're listening to. So that happens sometimes. And that's why we have candy, so that everyone wants to pay attention. But you know, when you get older, it's a little easier to listen sometimes. You can think a little bit calmer, and you can understand a little bit more. But here's the Lord Jesus, 12, he's still pretty young, and he was there hearing. So there were teachers. These teachers would have been probably looking at the Old Testament scriptures and saying, you know, this is what this means. Like we hear in reading meetings here and addresses. There are brothers who have the ability to teach. And there they were. There they are here teaching about the Bible. And that's the same thing with what the Lord Jesus was listening to. And it was obviously the Old Testament. And I'm not sure what these teachers were saying was right. They didn't have the Holy Spirit necessarily. They didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them to necessarily teach right. But they were teaching, and the Lord Jesus was listening. And then it also says that he was asking them questions. So I think that's important for you kids to understand too, that we should ask questions. When there is when there's teaching going on and someone says, this is what this means, it's good to ask questions. And a lot of times you get your teaching at home from your parents and they tell you something, but it's good to ask questions and to really understand it. Don't just say, okay, I believe it because my parents said it. Now you should listen to your parents, but you should ask questions. So that's what the Lord Jesus was doing. Now here's something really interesting. Verse 47, it says, and all who heard him, or all that heard him, were astonished at his understanding and answers. Does anyone know what astonished means? Sam?
Really surprised.
Yeah, really surprised. So everyone was really surprised at, what does it say? His understanding, that means they say, he understands what we're saying. Wow. And you know what I've learned? Just I only have, the oldest is 7 here, but I understand that you kids actually understand more than a lot of people think. I learned that. Kids actually can understand a lot. Right? And sometimes that you guys know that, kids know that, but adults don't realize that, that you can understand a lot, right? Well, it says they were astonished. They were surprised that he understood all this, and they're also surprised at his answers. Wait, I thought he was asking questions. It didn't say he was asking questions. Sam?
He was answering his own questions.
I think, that's right, I think either he was answering his own questions, or the questions he was asking were answering other people's questions that they had in their hearts. So how wise was he? How wise is he? So this is where I think he's different than a lot of young boys and girls, because he had that special wisdom, right? Don't forget that though he's a boy, he's also God, right? We can't forget that part. And his mom in this story forgets that. And we're going to see that she forgets that. So, it says that they were surprised hearing him answer questions. He was answering questions that these wise teachers who had been alive way longer than him didn't have the answers to. So, there's a verse I want to quick read in Psalm 119. I can just read it. You can just listen. But this is a pretty interesting verse. Psalm 119, verse 99. It says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. So, this is a little lesson for us, that the Lord Jesus had more understanding than all of them because in his heart was God's will, right? And he's the Son of God, so he had more wisdom. But you know what? This can apply to you. You know what? There's another story that I'm going to try to repeat from something that happened in our family, that one of my brothers, Uncle Josh, was in school, and this is like third hand that I'm repeating this, but one of his teachers tried to tell him that people were animals. And they were saying that because they were going to say that you're just the same as an animal, which we know we're not from the Bible. But you know what he did? He went home and he laughed about it. And he knew it wasn't true. He chuckled and he told his mom, my mom, that this is what they said at school. But why did he know it wasn't true? Because he knew from the Bible it wasn't true. So if God's testimonies, as it says in the psalm, are our meditation, if we're reading the Bible, when someone says something that, even if it's our teacher, now I know some of you here are homeschooled, so maybe this doesn't apply, but you will have someone try to teach you something at some point who's not a believer. And if you hear something that's wrong, guess what? You can say, that's not what the Bible says. And you know, you don't even have to tell them necessarily, but you know that what they're saying is wrong. So this is an example from the Lord Jesus as a boy, but this applies to our life. And if we are reading the Word of God, and it doesn't have to be a whole chapter every day, but if we're always reading the Word of God, we will have answers for questions that people in the world, maybe our teachers at school, don't really have answers for, and they're saying things that are not true. So that doesn't mean we shouldn't respect them. Remember, the Lord Jesus was asking questions. He wasn't preaching and telling them, here's what should be done. He was a boy, so he was listening and asking questions. But he was actually wiser than that. Okay, so let's move on. So it says that, we'll go to verse 48. And when they saw him, who's they? That's his parents. When they saw him, they were amazed. Why do you think they were amazed when they saw him?
Because that's not where they expected him to be.
That's exactly right. They didn't expect him to be there. And they didn't realize what was really in him, that he's the Son of God. They didn't realize, that he would be in the temple, in this spot. They thought maybe he'd be looking for food somewhere. But he had what was most important to him on his heart, and that's where he was. Okay, so now it says they're amazed. And this is the part that I find very interesting. So it says, and his mother said unto him. So what is she going to say? So maybe you can't imagine being a grown-up, but imagine if You were looking for someone for 3 days. You finally found them. And they weren't upset that you were gone. They were just there in the temple talking, or listening and asking questions. Well, how would you feel? Ezra? You feel good that you found them? Yeah. Would you be maybe a little upset that... Would you be maybe a little upset that this person was missing for 3 days? You think you would, Evelyn? You'd be a little upset? Yeah. Well, guess what? The Lord's mother was upset. And when she was upset, she forgot. I think maybe she didn't fully understand much, or didn't all the way understand, but she forgot that what she had been told when the Lord Jesus was going to be born, that he was the Son of God. And this is what she said. Son, or really it's child, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Why are you doing this to us? She says, behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Your dad and I have been looking everywhere. We're sad about this. And here he was in the temple, and he didn't seem sad, I'm guessing. And so she was pretty upset. Now, if one of you kids hid or were not coming when you got called, and you had a conference and your parents left and your parents were upset with you, would that be right for them to be upset with you? Yeah, if you were hiding or you weren't obeying them when they called you and you knew you were supposed to leave, that would be right if they were upset. But was it right for her to be upset here? No, it was not. She had kind of forgotten that he was the Son of God. So what does it say? She said, behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. There's something wrong there. Does anyone know what's wrong with what she said there? This might be a little harder.
Sorrow?
No, I mean, maybe they shouldn't have been, but that's not really what's wrong. She says something that's wrong, and the Lord actually, he doesn't really correct her, but he, when in his response, without outright correcting her, he shows that what she was saying wasn't really right. She said, oh, here, I'll give you a participation. Sorry. So she said, thy father and I. Who is the Lord Jesus' father?
God.
That's right. So she forgot this was the Son of God, and she thought this was the son of Joseph. And she said, thy father and I. And that was not right. That was not right. That he was not the son of Joseph. And it always, if you look at this chapter, it says his parents, his parents. It never says his father and mother here. Because it's not his father. God was his father. And what's important about that? Well, the Lord Jesus shows what's important about that. He said unto them, how is it, or why is it that ye have sought me? Why were you looking for me? So that's not, he wasn't saying, in a bad kid way. He wasn't saying this. He was saying this in a nice way. Why were you looking for me? And the reason why he's asking is because they should have known that you'd be at the temple. And he says, why? He says, wist ye not. Now, wist is kind of an older English word. It means, did you not know? Didn't you know that I must be about or occupied with my father's business? And he says, my father. He didn't say his business, because she had just mentioned his father. He says, my father. What is he saying? He's saying, my father is God. And my first job is to obey him and do what he wants. And if his father wanted him to be at the temple, that's where he was going to be. Right? So that's a lesson for us, that we should obey God. Right? But what does God say? Children, obey your parents, right? So we need to obey our parents. But in this case, here was a parent telling him, being upset with him, but yet he was obeying God's will, his father's will. So how perfect was he? And his answer was not being bad at all, right? You know, he's perfect. He had a perfect answer to show that what you're saying isn't really right, and this is what I'm doing. But we see some more about what happens after. Because I think it's important we don't just stop there. The rest of the story is important. So it says, in verse 50, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. They didn't understand what he was saying. So when he said, I have to be about my father's business, well, what? Who was Mary thinking his father was?
Joseph.
What was Joseph's business? Anyone else know? Besides Sam, what was Joseph's business? Does anyone know?
Carpenter.
Exactly. Sorry. So, he was a carpenter. And you know what? In the scriptures, we see that. People say, isn't this the carpenter's son? They expected Jesus was going to just be a carpenter like his dad. And I don't say just as in that's not very important. Because I think your dad, Sam, was sort of a carpenter too. So I'm not saying just. But the point is that he was far more than the carpenter's son, wasn't he? And his father was God. And he was doing his father's business. Well, they didn't understand. Now, this is one other important lesson I think you kids should understand. You know, sometimes you might feel like this. You might feel like nobody understands what you're saying. You ever feel that way? Yeah? Both of you nodded. Here you go. Sorry, kids. Oh, sorry. So sometimes you might feel like you're misunderstood. You say something, and, you know, people just, adults, maybe your parents go, I'm not sure what you're saying. And they just don't know. Well, think of how often the Lord Jesus had that happen to him. Maybe every time. Maybe every time he said something, they were like, what is he saying? And he is saying the words of God. But they didn't understand. You know? So how that might be hard, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you feel kind of lonely if every time you said something to your parents said, I don't know what you're saying? You could feel a little bit lonely. So imagine how the Lord Jesus felt when he would say something like this, I'm doing my Father's will. And they said, we don't know what he's saying. What is he talking about? But they knew he was special, but they didn't know what he was saying. So the next verse, I think, is very important. So even if you know more than your teachers, or maybe even your parents get something wrong, which I found when I got older that my parents were almost always right when they told me I was doing something wrong. I learned that later on in life. But even if they were wrong, like the Lord's parents here, and even if they didn't understand what he was saying, the next verse is very important. It says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth, where they lived, and was subject unto them, in subjection. What does that mean? He obeyed them. He listened to them. And that's very important that even the Son of God listened to his parents and obeyed them. That's very important. So that's how important it is to listen to our parents. No matter how we feel, if we feel that they're wrong, and yes, as a parent, I know sometimes we are wrong. But we still need to listen. We still need to be subject to them. And the Lord Jesus shows that perfectly. The one who is the Son of God was subject to his parents who didn't know what he was saying. So I think that's one more important lesson. But here's a little lesson for parents. It says, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. So she thought about these things. She remembered, my son is special. He's very special. And I'm going to keep these sayings. And so that was good that she listened. So it says then that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. It's so interesting that Jesus grew. He kept growing. Just like us. It's so hard to think about the fact that though he's the Son of God, he's growing like you or I. And that's what I think makes the fact that the Lord Jesus became a person, became a baby and grew to a boy and then to a man, is that he became like us. There's a verse in Hebrews that says, I'll just see if I can find it quickly, about him. It says, Hebrews, I think it's chapter 2. It says, let's see if I can find it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as, or since therefore, the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Because you and I, who would be saved, are children, our people, have flesh and blood. He took part of the same. He became a person. So that makes him very special to us. So the reason why I bring out this story is because sometimes we might feel like, well, Lord Jesus was a man, right? And I'm just a kid. But here we have an example of the Lord Jesus as a kid. So he was a kid too. He went through the same things that you did, and probably worse, because they didn't understand him at all, compared to, well, your parents mostly understand you. So I just bring this out as a good example. This is why we need to read the Word of God. And the Gospels are very important, because we read the Gospels, we see the Lord Jesus as an example for how we can be. Okay, so that's...
Question there, Ryan.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
Sure.
What did the Lord do when he was a boy?
I don't know. Do you have a thought?
Well, let's see what the Word of God says. Look in Mark's Gospel, chapter, I can find it here. Chapter 6. Maybe someone can read verses 2 and 3.
Sure, I'll read that. Mark 6, verse 2 and 3. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. So he had siblings.
But it says that he did the work of a carpenter.
Oh, yeah, interesting. Is not this the carpenter? So he must have done that. That's interesting.
Maybe he worked with his father.
Very good, very good. Here's some candy for you. Okay, so maybe just a couple quick questions, because we're getting short on time, but... We can get out a little bit more of this candy. I could eat it all, but I don't want to. So maybe we could ask a couple more questions, and then we could sing one. I'm sorry we don't have time for the verse. Does anyone really want to say the verse? Because if so, we could do it. But okay, we'll just ask a couple questions. So first question is, how many days did it take, did they look for the Lord Jesus? Did his parents look for him until they found him?
Three.
Good. Okay. When they found him, I'm looking at you, Abby, if you want to answer this one. When they found him, how did they act toward him? Were they upset or were they glad to see him?
Upset.
Both of you got it. There you go. Okay. Oh, sorry. Okay. So, yes, they were upset. They were a little bit cross with him, you might say. Okay. What did Mary say when she addressed him? What did she say that wasn't quite right? Sam?
Your father and I.
Your father and I. Yep. Okay. And one more question. What did the Lord Jesus do once they found him and once they talked with each other? What did he do?
He went back with them to Nazareth?
Yep. And one final thing, most important part of that, when he got back to Nazareth, what did he do then? This is one of the most important points. He was subject unto them, right? He still listened to them, even though his parents had been wrong. Okay, I think that's it. Does anyone have maybe one or two songs we could sing? One song? Abby? What's that? 45. So again, yep, from the back. Okay, 40. Oh. It's not in here, this one. It got removed. Is there another one? Do you have one?
It's on some of them, Mary.
Oh, it's on some of them. It's not on this one either. What is it?
Too little
eyes to look to God. Walk his ways.
46.
Glad to be, I am.